now teachings on the five Buddhas and their relation with the defilements. As always, whenever you receive the teaching, the very first thing is to create the right motivation. Although this is not a kind of formal or exclusive teaching, but still, since it contains a very profound subject, it is very important to have the right motivation. And the different types of motivation, even the right motivation also has different kinds, makes it the different levels of the path. If one receives the teaching just for the sake of this life, for instance, to clear the obstacles and to accomplish the worldly needs such as long life, good health, prosperity, etc. Although it's a virtuous in a sense, but still it is within a worldly level. So therefore, it is not a pure dharma. It's not a dharma, as it is said in the parting from the four attachment, that if you attach to this life, one is not a dharmic person or the religious person. And so therefore, to make it pure dharma, at least the goal is not for the sake of this life. At least the goal is for the sake of the next life. And so the life is not permanent. Everyone who is born in this universe has to end with the death. So sooner or later, of course, everyone have to die. So when we die, our physical body will be disposed in one way or another, but the mental consciousness, which is invisible, could not be vanished, just like the candlelight vanishes. So it must continue. So when we die, our consciousness has to enter into our next life. And at that time, although everything we have to leave behind, including our very precious body, but the karmas that we have accumulated while we are alive will follow wherever we go, just like us, the shadow will follow wherever our body goes. And then the negative karmas that we have committed while we are alive will determine to fall down to the lower realms. And the positive karmas, the virtuous karmas that we committed will determine us to cause to be born in the higher realms. So if one is born in the lower realms, then of course there is an enormous, unbelievable, unbearable sufferings which nobody can bear. And so therefore, in order to save from such suffering, and in order to continuously enjoy in the life in the higher realms, that then we practice virtuous deeds, and this is of course still it is dharma. It is the virtuous deeds, and it's a good thing. But in a very lower level, because the aim is still within the samsara or within the circle of existence. So such persons who are seeking higher realms, and for the sake of higher realms that you practice and practice moral conduct, etc., described as like small person's path, because aim is still very limited, still within samsara. And then one who realizes that although there's an enormous and unbearable sufferings in the lower realms, such as like the hell realm, hungry ghost realm, and animals realm. But even in the higher realms, or seemingly, when we not carefully think that there is like a mixture of suffering and happiness. But in reality, there's not a real happiness. So even the feelings that we consider as like joy and pleasure and happiness are also, in a way, in comparing, when you compare with the sufferings, they appear like joyful and happiness, but in reality, they are also in another form of suffering. And so in this way, although in the lower realms have enormous suffering, in the higher realms, lesser suffering, but in reality, from the highest heavenly realm up to the lowest hell realm, it's all sufferings. It's all nature of suffering. It's all sufferings. So therefore, the entire samsara, the entire cycle of life, there's not a single spot which is worthy of attachment. So one who realizes, not only in the lower realms, but in the higher realms also, in a similar way, so the entire samsara is not worthy. And one who wishes to free totally from the entire samsara and seeking a liberation for oneself. Now this is called the middle person's path because it is higher than the previous one, but still it is not the highest. So therefore, this is called the middle person's path. And then, just like oneself seeking liberation, and oneself wishes to be free, totally free from the sufferings. Every sentient being has same feelings. Tiny insects up to the gods, all have the same feelings. And as we believe in rebirth, the life we have now is not the only life we had. We had innumerable lives in the past, and we will continue have in the future also, unless we attain the liberation or the enlightenment. And so therefore, every sentient being is related to us. There's not a single place where one is not born, or where there's not a single sentient being who did not become our parents, mother, father, and so on. So therefore, it is wrong just to seek the liberation for oneself alone and abandoning and ignoring all the other sentient beings. And so therefore, that instead of seeking liberation for oneself alone, you have to think of all the other sentient beings, the countless sentient beings who are in reality our own mother, father, and so on, but due to the change of life that we do not recognize each other, and we see some as our relatives, some as enemies, some as indifferent. But in reality, every sentient being is one's own mother. So by realizing this, that how to pay back their kindness and the love and the benefit they have given. And so the way to pay back their kindness and their love and their benefit is to rescue them from the suffering of samsara and place them to the path of happiness. But to do that, one needs to attain the full enlightenment. And so therefore, for the sake of all sentient beings, to seek ultimate enlightenment is the great person, because there's no greater goal than this, so it's called the great person's path. So depending on what kind of motivation you have will determine what kind of level of spiritual path that one will lead. And since today is the subject of five Buddhas is very profound, it is important to have the right motivation, and so that is for the sake of all sentient beings that one must attain the full enlightenment. And in order to attain enlightenment, that you are receiving this teaching, and after receiving this teaching, that one will diligently follow the profound path. So such motivation, along with the right conduct, as I have already described yesterday, that one should is important to have. Since this subject is really exclusively for the Vajrayana teachings, that it is important for me to explain and the history. So when the Buddhas appear to this universe, then it is called the light eon. If the Buddha is not appeared, then it is called the dark eons. And there are many, many dark eons and very few light eons. And during the light eon also, when in the beginning of the eon, when people's merit and life spans are increasing, at that time the Buddhas do not appear. So, which means that most of the time the Buddhas do not appear. But during this eon is called the fortunate eon, because not only the Buddha appears, but 1,000 Buddhas appear together. So therefore it is called the fortunate eons. And these 1,000 Buddhas, long before they attained the enlightenment, they were all together. Even when they were following the Bodhisattva path, also they were all together. And so at one time, they were all born as a prince of a universal emperor, because they all prayed together. So they were all born together as a prince of a universal emperor. And at that time, when all the princes were together in a garden, and then the royal priest collected their names written in gold and precious jewels, their names, and mixed with the many precious jewels together, and then put it in a vase. And then each prince will pray to this, that when and where they will attain the enlightenment. After each prince prayed, then their names were taken out one by one. And so according to this name comes, which one first comes, first, second, third, and so on. So according to that order, then the princes were all attained enlightenment. And our present Shakyamuni Buddha is number 4. So therefore, it is our present Shakyamuni Buddha is referred as a fourth Buddha. And at that time, none of the princes wishes to attain enlightenment during the talking of the degenerated times, because during the dark eons, the people have excess defilements, and so when you have excess defilements, then it is very difficult to tame them, difficult to train them. And so none of the prince wishes to attain enlightenment during these dark eons or the degenerated times. But our present Shakyamuni Buddha, who has special compassion and courage to attain the enlightenment in the most difficult time, the degenerated time, he chosen the most difficult periods of time, most difficult followers, most difficult sentient beings. He took the courage to help the sentient beings that were already given up by the other princes. And so he chose this most difficult time, periods of time, and said that I will help those sentient beings who were given up by my brothers. And although at that time it is very difficult to tame them, but I will use a special skillful means, special methods to use the defilements instead of obstacle, assistant, using the defilements as assistance to attain the enlightenment. And since he has chosen the most difficult periods and most difficult sentient beings, and then he was empowered, he was the only Buddha among the thousand Buddhas empowered to bestow the Vajrayana teachings to the common followers. It's just like the person who goes to the poorest country gets the best share. So like that he was the only Buddha that is empowered to bestow the Vajrayana teachings. So that's why the Shakyamuni Buddha's time that we have the Vajrayana teachings available to the common followers. So it is mentioned very clearly in Guhyasamaja, as well as many major tantras, that all thousand Buddhas do not teach the Vajrayana teachings. They only teach Hinayana and Mahayana teachings. It is only the Shakyamuni Buddha who teaches the Vajrayana teachings. Then in Namasangit Manjushri, it is said that the Vajrayana teachings were taught by the past Buddhas and future Buddhas and present Buddhas. All the Buddhas teaches the Vajrayana teachings. So, in the commentaries, so this question was put by somebody to the Dzogchen Shogye Phagwa. And the Dzogchen Shogye Phagwa said it does not contradict, because in the Namasangit it says all the past, present, future Buddhas teaches Vajrayana teachings, because for the higher level of the disciples, all the Buddhas teaches the Vajrayana teachings. Whereas in Guhyasamaja, in major tantras, it says the only the Shakyamuni Buddha teaches the Vajrayana teachings, because it is the only Shakyamuni Buddha who teaches the Vajrayana teachings for the ordinary common followers. So in any case, the Shakyamuni Buddha who created the enlightenment mind in the beginning, and then in the meantime accumulate the merit and wisdom here for three countless eons, and then eventually attain the full enlightenment. After attaining the enlightenment, the most important activity, although the Buddha's physical activities, verbal activities, the mental activities, they are, of course, Buddha does not remain a single moment without helping the sentient beings. All the time helping sentient beings. But the most important activity is by turning the wheel of Dharma. Or in other words, by giving the teachings according to the sentient beings' mentality, defilements, propensities, and so on. And so, so he turns the wheel of Dharma according to the different levels. For some, majority of the people, majority of the beings are still at the lower level. So most of the teachings were given in Hinayana teachings. Then for the higher level of the persons, or those who are ready for Mahayana teachings, and then those who are more advanced at giving the even for ordinary person also, if they are ready, giving the Vajrayana teachings. And the 5 days Buddha is exclusively described in the Vajrayana teachings, not in the Mahayana teaching. Many of the earlier translations describe as a 5 Dhyani Buddhas. 5 Dhyani Buddha. Dhyani means like meditation, meditated Buddhas. This is it is not in the Sanskrit nor in the Tibetan Tibetan text does not mention, but of course all Buddhas are meditating all the time. But it is not when we describe the 5 race Buddhas, it is not kind of really related or the proper to use the term 5 Dhyani Buddhas. So the best word will be by 5 race Buddhas, because they are different race. In Tibetan words, the rig means race. So the Ringa means 5 rays. So, therefore, the best word is 5 rays Buddhas. And so, in Vajrayana teaching also, of course, we have different classes of tantras, like Kriya Tantra. There are many ways of dividing the classes of tantra, but the most common one is to divide into 4 classes of tantra, because there are 4 types of disciples, so therefore there are 4 classes of tantra. The first very basic one is called the Kriya Tantra. Kriya means like activities. So the inferior persons who are not devout inner meditation so much, but who can emphasize more on the outer physical activities or verbal activities, like recitation of mantra, etc., and fasting rituals. So for them, it is the Kriya Tantra. Then the mediocre persons who can emphasize outer physical activities as well as the inner meditation, equally, for them it is the Jaya Tantra. And then for the superior persons who can emphasize mainly on the inner meditation is the Yoga Tantra. And then for the superior persons who can not only emphasize the inner meditation, but the highest level of meditation is the Anuttara Yoga Tantra. So in this way that we have 4 classes of tantra, and as I already mentioned, that in the Sutrayana does not mention about the 5 race Buddhas. Not only in the Sutrayana, even in Kriya Tantra also does not mention the 5 race Buddha. Only in Jayatantra sort of briefly mentions, though there's not a full description, but very briefly mentions about the five race Buddhas. And then in the Yoga Tantra, of course, it mentions the five race Buddhas, and five race Buddhas pledges also. And then in Anuttara Yoga Tantra, of course, it mentions very fully the five race Buddhas. And these five race Buddhas, in relations with the samsaric level, is very, very important, because we think samsara, sentient beings that who are dwelling in samsara, is at the base level, at lower level, and in the ordinary level. And when we think of the Buddhas and their primordial wisdoms at the very higher level. So if in this way, that if we think in one is lower, one is higher, and then it is very difficult to make the connections. Though the Buddha and sentient beings, there's a vast difference of earth and sky. But at the same time, there is a complete connection. They are interlinked together. And so therefore, ordinary sentient being like us, with a full of shortcomings, with a full of defilements, also, if we make the efforts, that we can become Buddha, we can become, we can attain the full enlightenment. And this is because basically every sentient being possesses the Buddha nature. Every sentient being has the natural rays of the Buddha, without any bias, without any exception, without any prejudice, without any exception, that every sentient being, from tiny insects, invisible germs, up to the gods, that every sentient being's true nature of the mind is the, in a way, the Buddha nature. In a sense, our ordinary sentient beings' true nature of the mind and the Buddha's true nature of the primordial wisdom, there is, in its own nature, there is no difference. And the difference is that the Buddha's realize the nature of the mind, and the ordinary sentient beings do not realize the nature of the mind, and instead that it is completely caught in the obscuration of the defilements and the obscuration of the knowledge. And so the difference between the Buddha and the sentient being is depending on the realizing and not realizing. And the main cause to be caught up in the samsara, where one have to experience ceaseless suffering, is because of the lack of wisdom and because of the ignorance. Ignorance is not knowing the reality, that instead of seeing the reality, that we cling as a self without any logical reasons. We all have a natural habitual tendency to cling as a self. But this notion of clinging to the self is wrong, because there is no logical reasons. If we try to investigate where is the self, then you could not find anywhere, because the body is not self, name is not self, mind is not self. So then you could not find. But we all have a very strong habitual tendency that builds up for very long periods of time, so therefore that we all have the natural tendency of clinging as a self. And so this, when you, so the ignorance of clinging to the self is the base or the source of all the sufferings. And in its own nature, it is the nature, in its own nature, it is the wisdom of Dharma Tattu. Dharma Tattu means ultimate reality. So in the ultimate reality ways that this very basic ignorance is the Dharma Tattu wisdom. And this is the wisdom of Buddha Berotana. And the Buddha Berotana, the color of the Buddha Berotana is white, because the white is the base of all the other colors also. Similarly, the ignorance is the base of all the other defilements. Because of the ignorance of self-clinging, when you have the self, then compared to that, there's the others. When you have the self, then you have the others, just like the right and left. If you have the right side, then you got to have a left side also. So similarly, when you have the self, then compared to that, you have the others. So when you have the self and others, then there it arises attachment to one's own side, self, and anger to the others. So in this way, forms the basic three defilements. Like ignorance, from the ignorance arises the desire or the attachment and anger. So when you have this three defilements, then the qualities of the defilement is the pride and stinginess. And then as an activity of the defilement is rises the jealousy. So in this way it forms the from the ignorance forms the two, and from the two forms from the three forms the five altogether, the five defilements. And the symbol of the Buddha Berotana is will. Will is a very powerful weapon, but not so visible as like a sword or like the axe, but it kind of invisibly it cuts the things. So similarly, though it is the very base, ignorance is the base of all the defilements, but not so visible as like the anger or the desire. And then the five out of five aggregates, it is the form. The form means like the aggregates of form. Form means like the five sense organs and the five sense objects, etc., that are visible and base. So these five aggregates and the five defilements and the five elements are naturally pure in the nature of the five Buddhas. If one realizes the true nature of these, then one, they are the Buddha, five Buddhas, and they are the five primordial wisdoms. So in the Vajrayana practice, the ground to be purified, the purifier and the result of purification is very important. And ground to be purified is the five aggregates and the five defilements and the five elements. For instance, for Buddha Virajana, it is the aggregate of form and the defilements of ignorance and elements of earth. And so since we all have this, we all have the form, we all have the elements, we all have the defilements of ignorance, and that is the ground to be purified, and purifier is visualizing them into the deities, deity of love, Virajana, and wisdom of Dharmadhatu. And Buddha Virajana's empowerment is the name empowerment. And the name is given if it is something form, visible form. If there's no form, then name could not be given. So since Buddha Virajana's is a form, the Virajana's empowerment is the secret name empowerment. Now the ground to be purified is actually not something different from one's own mind. One's own mind, which clinging, aggregates of form, and the defilements of ignorance, clinging it as a ordinary, is the this thought is not the object itself. The object itself is pure, but it is the way we perceive, the way we cling. We cling this as an ordinary form and ordinary defilement is the ground to be purified. And the purifier is by visualizing in the form of Virajana and visualizing it defilements of ignorance as a wisdom of Dharmadhatu. And since the actual Buddha Virajana and actual Buddha Virajana's wisdom of Dharmadhatu and our present aggregate form and the defilements of ignorance have a connection, just as like the connection of seed and crops. Seed and crops have a connection. So that when the seed is met, seed is planted in a favorable condition, such as like the fertile ground with the right moisture, right temperature, etc., then it will grow. So similarly, since there is a connection that by visualizing, although we are not Buddha at the moment, but by visualizing ourselves and imagining because of the links that eventually that one ourselves will attain, be able to accomplish the Buddha Virajana and the wisdom of Dharmadhatu. And so in this way that as Buddha said, that the defilements, although if we do not realize this, if we continue to cling as ordinary, and if we continue to indulge ignorance, then of course it will continue to caught up in the samsara, and one will continuously experience the unceasing sufferings. And then similarly, the Buddha Akshobhya, the Buddha Akshobhya's aggregate is the consciousness, and the defilement is anger, and wisdom is Mirala wisdom. And as it arises from the ignorance, the anger, that the aggregate of consciousness is the sense consciousness and mental consciousness all combining them together is the aggregate of consciousness. And the Buddha actually bears color is blue or the dark blue, because when one gets angry, one's face becomes dark, and then the object of this is Vajra. Vajra is the very visible weapon. It's the very most powerful weapon, because the anger, when anger arises, then it is very visible. So the symbol for the Akshobhya is the Vajra. And the Buddha Akshobhya's empowerment is water empowerment, because water washes dirt. By washing with the water, that it purifies, cleans things, dirty things. Similarly, Buddha Akshobhya is the mind aspect. And the thing that we need to purify is the mind. Mind, it is not the other objects. The object itself is pure, but the mind that perceives in the wrong way, in an impure way. So therefore, the mind has to be purified. So therefore, Buddha Akshobhya has the water empowerments. And the Buddha Berotsana's wisdom is Dharma Dhatu. Dharma Dhatu wisdom is something that is all the time natural, and it's all the time there. It's nothing changes, whether you are ordinary being or whether you are Buddha. It has its own nature, does not change. For example, it is just the perception of the beings that changes. For example, if you have a container, the dirty container made out of copper, since it is used as a dirty container, that people consider as a dirty thing and even do not hesitate to touch it. Same copper, if it is used into the same dirty container was melted and used in the ornament, then people appreciate and people try to touch, not only touch but also wear and appreciate its beauty, and no hesitation to touch, but it the whole perception is totally changed. And the same copper, if it is used to make a statue of a deity, then not only people touch but also respect and place in the very high. Although the shape is changed, but the actual copper, there's nothing changed. It is the same copper that is used for a dirty container or ornaments or the statue of deity. And so in this way, the wisdom of Dharma Dhatu is also the from ordinary sentient beings to the Buddhahood. It does not change. It is only that you becomes visible. There's nothing new to gain when you attain the enlightenment. There's nothing new to gain. It is something that which we have already, right from the beginning, is revealed to us. And so it is the wisdom of Dharma Dhatu, which is also actually the Dharmakaya. And then the Buddha Akshobhya's wisdom is the mirror-like wisdom. Mirror-like wisdom and wisdom of Dharma Dhatu are like one coin of a different size. If you look in one side, it is the wisdom of Dharma Dhatu. In another side, it is the wisdom of Mirala. And Mirala wisdom is the omniscient wisdom. Just like on the mirror, whatever form is shown, it will reflect in the mirror. Similarly, Buddhas, without any conceptual thoughts, that each and every thing, cause and condition, everything is known to Buddha. So therefore, it is the omniscient wisdom. And so the Buddha Amitabha, Buddha Akshobhya's wisdom is the Mirala wisdom, and the defilement is anger. And anger is very, very powerful, and it is the most harmful. Among all the defilements, anger is the worst, because when you, the deeds that are related with the anger, hatred, most likely that one will be caused to be born in the hell realms. And then the Buddha Rana Sambhava's aggregate form is feeling, like physical feeling and mental feelings. And wisdom, the defilement is pride and stinginess. And is the pride and stinginess are the qualities of the defilements. When you have when you have the possessions, when you gain things, when you possess, then you are proud, and then also you get stinginess, and it's the quality. And similarly, Buddha Rana Sambhava is the quality embodiment of all the Buddha's qualities. Rana Sambhava's color is yellow because stinginess is mostly for the wealth. And the main wealth is such as like the gold. The color of the gold is yellow. So the precious things such as like the yellow, when one gains, get pride. And also when one possesses, one gets stinginess. So therefore the two, the connection is that due to this, that it is the, and the symbol of the Rana Sambhava is jewel. As one gets the pride and stinginess when you possess the jewels. And empowerment for the Rana Sambhava is crown. Crown is also made out of the jewels. And Buddha Rana Sambhava is the embodiment of all the Buddha's qualities. And the Buddha's quality is the main quality is to fulfill the followers, to fulfill the sentient beings' wishes. And by having crown, by the rulers of the country, when you are crowned, then you could fulfill your wishes of the subject. The wisdom for the Rana Sambhava is the equality. When you reach such a state, then it is a completely equal. Everything is in completely equality level. And then the Buddha Amitabha's aggregate is the aggregate of perception. And the defilement is desire or the attachment. And wisdom of discrimination. Wisdom of discrimination that makes the discriminate things, determines what is what, is this, and so on. And the Buddha's such wisdom that determines each and every thing. And the desire is something that is not so harmful as anger, yet it is very difficult to give up, because it is associated with the feeling of pleasure or the joy. So therefore, it is more difficult. As anger, when anger arises, one becomes very angry, when you become angry, then one's face becomes dark, and one also becomes very unhappy. So therefore, it's very harmful, yet it is more easier to give up. Whereas desire is associated with the joy or the pleasure, so therefore it is more difficult. It's not so harmful as the anger, but yet it is more difficult to depart. And we are in the karma dhatu. Karma means desire. We are in the realm of karmas. Karma dhatu means the realm of karmas. So therefore, among all the defilements, the desire is the strong, and it's very difficult to eliminate. And so therefore, we must emphasize more on this subject. And so that is also one of the reasons why the practice of Buddha Amitabha is so important, and particularly in this degenerated time. Buddha Amitabha, as I have already explained to you before, that it is important because of his own particular aspirations and his own special prayers. And his Buddha field is the only Buddha field where even an ordinary person with a sincere wish and aspirations that one will be able to be born. Whereas other Buddha fields, ordinary people, it is not possible to be born. To be born in the other Buddha fields, at least you have to reach at certain level. And not only that, but also from our own shortcomings, from our own level, that we have the desire, and the desire is very difficult to eliminate. So when it is more difficult to eliminate, the more practice or the more emphasis is required. All the Buddhas, in terms of their knowledge, wisdom, compassion, power, there is no difference. But it is only that from our own side, what is lacking in us, what is more difficult, so on that particular area that one needs to work more. And Buddha Amitabha's color is red. When the person gets the desire or the attachment, then one's face, one becomes red. So similarly, that the Buddha Amitabha's color is red, and the symbol of the Buddha Amitabha is lotus, as lotus is beautiful and object of attachment. And so therefore, the connection between the ground to be purified and the purifier. And the Buddha Amitabha's empowerment is Vajra, because the Buddha Amitabha is the embodiment of all the Buddha's voice. And all the teachings are given through the voice, through the speech, and the teachings, the symbol of teachings, is the Vajra with the five prongs. And so therefore, the symbol, the empowerment is the Vajra empowerment. So in this particular time, that it is, although all the Buddhas, in terms of their blessings and compassion, all are same, constantly showering to us. It is only due to the lack of our own efforts, devotions, that we could not receive the blessings. And so therefore, at this juncture, at this point, that it is very important to everyone to practice on the Buddha Amitabha and to seek his blessings and to seek his guidance, and to generate a strong devotion, and through the practice to make the the connections, so that one will be able to eliminate the difficult defilements of desire, and then also one will be easily born in the future when we leave this world, to be born in the Sukhavati. Then the Buddha Amoghasiddhi. The Buddha Amoghasiddhi's aggregates is like volition or disposition and wisdom. The defilement is jealousy, and the wisdom is accomplishment. Aggregates of predisposition means that are things that are not a consciousness, nor inanimate, such as like the direction, etc. There are detailed explanations about this. It is a bit difficult to comprehend, but generally the things that are not, when you all the entities are included into three things: like inanimate consciousness, or the rather. Cognitive, or and three in predisposition. So these three things, all entities are included into these three things. And then the qualities of the defilement is the jealousy. Similarly, the qualities of the Buddha Amoghasiddhi. Buddha Amoghasiddhi is the embodiment of all the Buddha's qualities. And the color is green. Green color means actually mixture of many colors together forms the green color. Similarly, the mixture of desire, anger, etc. will create the jealousy. And the symbol of the Amoghasiddhi is either cross vajra or the sword. And if it is a cross vajra, is a combination of the combined vajra together. Similarly, it is the combined defilements, combined. And then sword is also like very sharp, and that it is like active because of the jealousies that makes the more active. And the Amoghasiddhi's empowerment is bell, because the Amoghasiddhi is the embodiment of all the Buddha's activities. And the main activity is through the sound of Dharma, through the sound, which is the sound of non-dual of sound and emptiness, that explains to the followers. So therefore, the empowerment is the bell. So in this way, the five race Buddhas and the five primordial wisdom and the five defilements and the five aggregates and the five elements that are all connected together. If there is no connection, then it is not possible to become the Buddha. For example, a beggar, if the beggar will, by visualizing the to become the king of the country, the beggar will not become the king. Similarly, that if we are just ordinary sentient beings, and there is no connection between Buddha and the sentient beings, then by visualizing in the form of deities, that one will never be able to become the deity. But since, although there is a vast difference between sentient beings and the Buddhas, the Buddha means fully enlightened, possessing infinite qualities, whereas ordinary sentient beings, we are completely helpless, we are completely bound with our karma and the defilements. So there's, of course, vast difference. Yet at the same time, there is a connection of the five aggregates 5 defilements, and the 5 wisdoms, and 5 Buddhas. So due to this, that we enter the path by clinging that the practice we do is real. For example, that when we visualize in the form of deity, that we visualize that whichever deity that we visualize, we think of it as a real result time deity. And we enter into this way, and then because of the connections, just as like the connection between the seed and the crops. Seed has the potency to grow as a crops. Every seed has the potency to grow as a crops, if it is met with the right methods or the right favorable conditions. And so the seed, every seed has the potency to grow as a crops. And so if the seed is brought into favorable conditions, such as like on the fertile ground, with the right moisture, with the right temperature, then it will grow because of the connection, and it will grow into crops, and eventually that it will yield a result of the seed. And similarly, although we cling this and enters into the path, but because of the connections, eventually that one will not fail to obtain the result, such as like the 5 race Buddhas and the 5 primordial wisdoms. It is the specialty of the Vajrayana is that by using what we already have, the samsaric things, such as like the 5 aggregates, 5 defilements, 5 elements, that are within us, within in samsaric level, the same one, instead of abandoning the defilements, instead of abandoning the aggregates, that we use in a way, through the skillful means that we use, and then helps to accomplish the result. Accomplish that it is very important to make the efforts. We must make the efforts. And when you make the efforts, the very first thing is to receive the proper empowerment. Without receiving empowerment, if one try to practice the Vajrayana path, then it is actually more harm than the benefit. And the empowerment also, it has to be the unbroken transmission of blessings that have been passed down from the Buddha Vajradhara right up to one's root guru, that have been passed down from one person to person at the proper time, at the proper place, and the proper ritual, and the proper mandala. And the empowerment also have to be a major empowerment at the proper mandala, like short initiations without proper mandala could not ripen the person's the mental continuum. And then at the proper mandala and through the proper rituals then one receives, then of course it has a great benefit. Because we already have the Buddhas, like 5 Buddhas, because of the 5 aggregates, 5 defilements, and the 5 the elements, etc. What we already have, then by receiving the empowerments, that it is makes the favorable conditions, just like bringing the seed into the fertile ground with the right moisture and with the right temperature. If one is a superior, very superior person, then one need not practice the process of creation and completion. Just by receiving the empowerment itself, fully awakens, and that very moment, one gets the realization and accomplish the excellent cities, such as like the ancient time, the King Indrabodhi, who lives in Ujjain, the country of Ujjain, which I believe is now somewhere in Pakistan, Swat Valley, it is said, but he lives there. And then one day that he saw the monks, the orange color robed monks flying in the sky. And due to his pre-karmic connections, that when he saw those, he was very astonished, and he was very interested who they are and what they are doing. So he asked his wise ministers who they are and what they are doing. And he said, the minister informed him, that they are the disciples of the Lord Shakyamuni Buddha, who is reciting in the central India. And when he heard the Lord Buddha's name, he was very awakened. His karmic connection, and he got strong devotion and strong wish to see him. And he asked whether it is possible for him to see him. And then he was informed that whoever has the faith, the Buddha will appear. And so he made arrangements for the next day. He made a lot of offerings, and he made a lot of arrangements. And then he requested Buddha, along with his followers, he invited for the midday meal. So the next day, from the central India, Lord Buddha, along with his followers, the arhats, 500 arhats in orange colored robes, flew and arrived in the country of Ujjain. And then the king was very impressed and got great devotion and did prostrations, and then offered the midday meal. And then at that time, it is a customary that after the offering of the midday meal, that Buddha gives the teachings. The Buddha gave the teachings and that to give up the attachment to the worldly pleasures, the worldly qualities, and remain in seclusion, searching for the liberation. And the king replied that even if he is born as animals in the midst of jungles, that it is easier, but he could not give up the attachment to his worldly pleasures, because he is so used with the worldly pleasures that he could not give up. And he said, without giving the worldly pleasures, that if there is a way to seek the liberation, then he will enter. Otherwise, by giving up the worldly pleasures, that he could not possibly do it. And then the Lord Buddha sees that he is worthy of receiving the Vajrayana teachings, and he is ready to attain the realizations. Mm-hmm. So at that very moment, the Lord Buddha, who is in a renounced form, in the completely renounced form, transformed into the Guhyasamaja Mandala. The Buddha himself became the main deity of the mandala, and all the arhats also becomes the deities of the Guhyasamaja Mandala. And then at that very moment, that he bestowed the Guhyasamaja empowerment and the teachings. And so since the king has very great fortune and great karma that been already ripening for over the very long periods of times, so, and through the power of Buddha's blessings, that at that very moment of receiving the empowerment, he got the realization, along with all his retinue. So that without such person is an example of attaining the realization just by receiving the empowerment, without going through the path. And those who do not have such fortune, and then after receiving the empowerment, one needs to practice on the path. And the practice you do is also actually not other than the one what you receive during the empowerment. Because the practice in the Vajrayana path is the two stages of the two process. The process of creation and the process of completion. And these two processes are not other than what you receive during the empowerment. During the empowerment of the vast empowerment that you are to seal or to seal or to close with the clinging to the ordinary, the conceptual of clinging to the ordinary appearances. And this is a process of creation by visualizing all ordinary forms as a deities and a celestial palace. So what you receive during the vast empowerment practicing is the process of creation, and it's not other than what you receive during the vast empowerment. And then during the three higher empowerments, that what you visualize as a deity and the celestial palace is also not in particular form, but in all manifestation of the primordial wisdom. So apart from that, there is no, which is mentioned in the three higher empowerments. So apart from that, there's no separate process of completion thing to practice. Process of completion is to what you visualize during the process of creation, also or all manifestation or the nature of the primordial wisdom. And so this is called the process of completion. And process of completion is not other than what you described during the three higher empowerments, such as like the secret wisdom and fourth empowerment. And so therefore, receiving the empowerment is not only important in the beginning, but also it is also the main part. Main part of the practice is what you receive during the empowerment is to practice is called the true process. So therefore, it's not only in the beginning, but also in empowerment is the main practice is also the empowerment. Those who like are mediocre persons, by practicing this, that then eventually, either at the time of death or in Bardo, that one will attain the realization. And those who are inferior persons, After receiving the empowerment that if one does not commit the downfalls, then either within 7 lifetimes or even those who are very inferior, within 16 lifetimes, one will be able to accomplish the realization. And this is very fast when you compare with the 3 countless eons. Because in Sutrayana, even those who have the best diligence and the best wisdom will take 3 countless eons to accomplish the full enlightenment. This is all because of the connection between the base and without abandoning the base, by using the samsaric things itself by using in skillful means, that one will be then accomplish the result. So with this, I conclude today's teaching. And I hope that everyone will have some knowledge, and then that you emphasize in your, as you have already received enormous amount of empowerments and the teachings from various teachers, gurus. So therefore, you all must emphasize in practice. In due course, one will have no doubt that one will be able to accomplish the great results.